Hello everyone and welcome to That Digipod. We are of course now a publicly available podcast, and this is a place to be if you're interested in what it takes to create a world-class product, people or culture. My name is Dipesh and I'm a product owner in a BT Digital team and your host for these sessions. Now, to kick us off, I'm joined by an individual who has over 15 years experience in helping companies create world-class customer experiences and one of the leading strategic minds in the industry, Mr. Sil Mon Lee. Sil, welcome to That Digipod.
Hi there, Dipesh. It's a pleasure to be here today.
Yeah, I'm really excited that you're here. We've had a little bit of discussion before, but never in this depth. So I'm really looking forward to hearing what you have to say.
Yeah, I'm really, really privileged to come on to this podcast. It's just really exciting. I'm really excited to get going.
Yeah, I mean, you've seen it from the beginning when we've done it internally now to a public audience. So hopefully the people will find this interesting. But as you know, Sil, we are all about what it takes to create a world-class product, people and culture and the individuals behind that. So I'd like to know from your perspective, what do you think it takes to create a world-class product?
Well, I think what you probably need to start off with is sort of understanding what products are. So if you think about sort of products as products and services you might be seeing in the everyday world, they may be physical products or they may be software-based products that are a little bit more intangible. They may be services that you might be using. They may be experiences that you might be having. So all of those things ultimately have a few things that relate to one another. They have businesses or organizations developing those products, but ultimately you've got users or customers using those products, and ultimately it's that thing in the middle, and it's a value exchange. Ultimately organizations are giving users something, and in return it might be something that the customers are giving back to the organizations, and generally that's a bit of money. So that's how we sort of kind of define what a product is. But then there's some like really key attributes to becoming sort of world class. And we're on a journey, right? Dipesh, we've been sort of going through this and really exploring and finding our own way to understanding what great looks like. But I think we've discovered quite a lot through that process. And I think the first thing is, as I mentioned, you've really got to be user-centric. You've got to be ultimately obsessing about the customer, really understanding their user needs and their pain points. We shouldn't really jump straight to the solution, right? We should really understand what problems we are actually trying to solve. Secondly, I think teams need to be really clear about what their ambitions are about when they're developing their products. So having a really clear view of what that future looks like, what their goals are, what that strategy looks like, and what the roadmap is to actually deliver on that future vision. And ultimately, at the end of the day, you need proof points. You need to have, it's all well and good to having a great sort of idea, but ultimately that team needs to deliver results, right?
Yeah, sure.
I think there's quite a few other things that we probably could think about and talk about. I think there's a really important bit around sort of nurturing a product as if it was like a living organism, having that continuous learning and growth mindset from ideation to discovery to delivery. I think you have to be able to adapt and improve the product as it's launching, and also be brave about sometimes thinking about sunsetting projects, products. I think it's safe to say that we don't do that very well. And we have to be sort of really, really brave to think about, oh, okay, this product might not suit a customer need anymore, and really think about how we might want to retire that product or even pivot. And because there's always changing needs, right?
The evolution is key for sure. And if in any business, you need to adapt, and especially to us, to adapt to our customer needs, because we have a range of different products as at BT, as you know. So it's really important for us to keep evolving.
Yeah, definitely. And I think the last thing to probably pull out is, I think behind every great product is a great team. And that comes with essentially great collaboration. So I think great products have multidisciplinary teams. We have great creative people, technology people, people that represent the business, and ultimately product people as well. And they are constantly asking the questions through discovery and delivery around, is it usable? Is it desirable? Is it feasible? Is it actually valuable to the business and the customer? And ultimately, is it viable? Is it sustainable to actually sort of deliver that, that product on an ongoing basis?
So Sil, would you mind just giving everyone a quick overview to what your role is now?
Yeah, sure. So I'm the digital product strategy lead in the digital department for BT. Back when I joined in 2013, I was actually hired in as a online marketing manager. So that's like 7 years ago, and you can kind of see how digital has evolved just in that short time. And I remember back then when I first started, we were a bunch of probably like 50 people in the actual digital team, and it's pretty much doubled in size since then. And that's been such an amazing growth that I've seen over those past 7 years. And I guess a little bit of a fun fact, before working for BT, I actually, in a previous life working in consultancy, my first job was actually with BT, and managed to work for a good number of years across the different aspects of BT. So wholesale, Openreach, and also the sort of consumer division back then. So I had a really good sort of experience with them beforehand.
Yeah. So have you always been in the digital sector then, sort of throughout your career?
No, not really, but I have, I mean, I have been a digital geek, I would say. I would say sort of it started back actually before actually university. I actually came up and came up with like an internet idea back in the sort of when Google were trying to sort of come into the frame when the internet started. And so I came up with a little sort of internet company with a buddy up north in England, and we did a little sort of summer project. So that all kicked it off before university. But then I did an engineering degree, and then I moved more into sort of the customer space and looking at how we ultimately improve customer experiences rather than specifically digital. But after a few years of really looking at the customer experience, my passion was really in driving the digital agenda. So back to my roots essentially, and BT gave me that opportunity.
No, that is so cool to hear, because there's a lot of stuff that I didn't know there from you. Yeah. Sil, so that's absolutely great. And you've obviously been in the BT world for a while now. What are the key changes that you've seen throughout your time? Any key turning points?
I mean, there's lots of key turning points, key moments. I've got to sort of do some big shout outs in terms of BT and EE sort of always pushing the boundaries in terms of trying to be bigger and better. And so there's been some great launches in terms of propositions and things that consumers like. So I had the sort of privilege of being able to help launch BT Mobile when I first came in. But then there's been some great sort of new propositions come out more recently with more of our converged propositions like Halo, and also sort of a complete Wi-Fi. We've had in the digital team, we've had a great sort of working partnership to ultimately integrate digital experiences into the proposition, and complete Wi-Fi is one of those ones. Also, obviously, from a digital perspective, there's been some key moments and big changes as well. I think there's some big moments around combining our brands together. We had sort of separate digital departments. So EE as a department, BT and also Plusnet. And we combined all of those expertise together to form the consumer digital team a few years back. That was amazing, because we saw different cultures from the different sort of teams coming together and really was a great opportunity to sort of learn from each other and taking the best of those cultures and ultimately clashing them together and form that single thing that we know today.
Yeah, and your role in strategy amongst all of those mergers and the cultures and the teams coming together, what was your thoughts at that time? Because did you have to take strategies from different areas and try to bring them to being one now big digital department?
Yeah, I mean, it really happens when E and BT sort of combined together as under the sort of same roof. And actually, I was actually seconded out for a few years, actually a couple of years, onto thinking about way ahead about actually how could these two brands work much closer together. So I was almost kind of in a completely sort of separate area to the day-to-day business to think about, okay, how can we think about sort of leveraging both of those great sort of brands and seeing how we can sort of make it sort of a better sort of I guess solution for our customers. So that I almost had a bit of that foresight and started to sort of think about how might the team start working together in that sort of future world. So yeah, that was really interesting.
What were the challenges that arose from that? That's something that I know our listeners here are really keen to listen to, because there's so much going on in that environment, even those couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, I think you go back to culture and people, right? I think there's obviously people have get used to the way that they work and the people that they work with, and when something changes to rock that boat a little bit, people sometimes become a little bit defensive. Some people actually embrace it. So there's different sort of reactions to that type of change. And I wouldn't say it's a challenge, but obviously it's something just to recognize that some people might be adverse to change and some people might actually embrace and lean into it. And we have to be able to face into both of those things that to really sort of make it really work. So we obviously had to make sure that people that were slightly nervous or a little bit apprehensive about that type of change, really we listened to them and really made sure that, you know, what's really sort of not sort of sitting right with them, and really to try and sort of understand how we might want to sort of alleviate those issues as well. So I think that was probably the sort of biggest challenge in my head, sort of looking at sort of trying to make sure that we didn't actually have sort of ultimately sort of sub factions of cultures sort of clashing with each other. And ultimately I think I would say, you know, where we are today, I think we've got to a place where actually there is quite a lot of harmony, isn't there? Wouldn't you say, Dipesh? What do you say? What did you think?
Oh, for sure. I remember when everything happened and the mergers came together, and it was, you do get that period of a bit of a, I wouldn't say a lull, but, you know, it's obviously more quiet. And then suddenly there was a boom, and it was like this digital revolution, this takeover had happened. And it's interesting to hear from your perspective, Sil, as well, because behind the scenes, having those personal conversations with people who maybe weren't, you know, completely on board, you know, that to me is something which I'm not sure a lot of people do. And anyone who's listening to this, I encourage you to go and do things like that. There's nothing better than creating personal relationships, I think, anyway. And I mentioned a boom there. That kind of brought us into this new digital business strategy. So we had the merge, we had a little bit of a lull, and then bam, we were into it. And now that's where we're sort of going now. So would you mind just talking a little bit more about the digital business strategy?
Yeah, totally. I think that's the perfect moment, because ultimately we were sort of trying to form this new organization, but then also what we wanted to do is create some momentum of change, really, to sort of see what we need to do to almost kind of embrace digital more as a business. But ultimately, our customers wanted more digital experiences. And the key driving factor was that customers' expectations were just rising all the time. They just kept changing. And that was driven a lot by sort of things that are outside the telco company. There are other digital experiences that are really outstanding out there that are really sort of setting a new benchmark. And we were, to be frank, playing catch up. So that really sort of drove our agenda to really look at how might we really meet customers' expectations, but also ultimately set the ambition around being one of the leading digital experience organizations in the UK. That was a key moment to really sort of say, right, we're going to start sort of doing something.
Yeah, I wanted to ask about that, because that standard that we've now got yeah. You guys obviously set in place, was that something straight off the bat that you thought, hold on, our customers need more digital experiences, but it's not good enough just to give them something, we need to provide quality to our customers?
Yeah, we were I think originally there was this sort of idea of, we just want to be the best in telco. And we really sort of did some research and listened to our customers. And actually, you know, they're not really looking at telco and saying, oh, you guys are doing the best jobs in from an experience perspective. I'm looking out to the banking industry. I'm looking out to the likes of Amazon or Netflix that are in completely different industries, and they are setting the bar. And we're going, hang on a minute, why are we setting our sort of ambitions it just within trying to be the best in telco? We actually need to sort of get to a level playing field in terms of what our customers expect, not what the business expects. So that was a real sort of, I guess, pivotal change for us to really sort of say, no, we need to set the bar even higher. It was actually originally called the digital strategy, but actually you'll hear a little bit in terms of the story of why we actually turned it into it becoming the digital business strategy. And it had basically two parts. The first part was around ultimately what did we need and what are the capabilities that are needed in order to actually drive towards improving our digital experiences for our customers. And then the second part was ultimately, in order for us to actually do that, we fundamentally needed to change how we worked and our ways of working, not just within the digital team, but actually across the whole business, having a different type of mindset and a different way of working. And that was a really important part about fundamentally changing how the consumer business would operate in the future. So that was the big story in terms of changing, yeah, just from a digital channel strategy to actually becoming a digital business strategy.
Nice. And how did you get people invested into this strategy?
So it was quite tough, because I think when we were first trying to explain this to our stakeholders, it felt like an alien language. Everything that we were trying to talk about, things like the idea of agile, were just completely alien to our stakeholders. So typically in BT, you would sort of have to explain things through PowerPoint and having lots of presentations through that. And we felt like that wasn't really working, because obviously there wasn't many words on there. So we took a slightly different tact. People might have, on this podcast, might have read the latest Amazon book, Working Backwards, where we actually took a leaf out of that sort of a few years ago before this book was written, where we actually started to write our strategy in a much longer form. So really to not only help us understand what we wanted to convey, but ultimately help the reader and our stakeholders understand what we wanted to achieve and how we want to achieve that. So that was a really important turning point to really sort of ultimately write it out in a lot more detail and get alignment on language. And the second bit, I would say, which was a really, I'd say, important sort of intervention, was something I helped work with our senior leadership team, was really to help show and not tell, show our senior stakeholders what could that future look like. So we had this separate track of work as well as writing the business case in paper form. We actually took another stream of work to do some inspiring and informing our stakeholders through sharing other organizations' experiences and actually taking our senior stakeholders to those locations. So we went to places abroad to actually see what the transformation had done to their organizations and shown them a different way of working.
Wow. And what was your mindset and your mentality like during this? Because you must have got some pushback, because people might not have been used to what you were doing, because you're doing this new way of presenting.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, it's back on the, sometimes you can think about these things as really big challenges, or it's just a big thing to crack, right? And it's all about starting small. It's about breaking down those problems and really start with trying something that's really in your control and seeing what happens. And that was the approach that we took. And everyone was sort of quite open to kind of going, right, rather than trying to shift and solve this big problem all in one, how can we break down the problem and start to sort of try things and seeing if it works? And if it doesn't, we'll try something else. But I think that was a really great sort of learning from us to kind of go, right, could we try, let's try and go abroad and take some of our senior stakeholders and see what comes back from it. And that sort of snowballed and carried the momentum to actually get more people to come to talk to the board and share their experiences as well.
And how are you measuring the success of this? Because how do you measure whether you're one of the top digital experiences in the world, for example?
Well, I mean, there's lots of different ways to doing it. One way that we are doing it is that we actually have our own internal customer insights teams, customer research, getting an indication of where we sit on that scale against other telco companies, but also other digital native brands. So internally we have some good benchmarking, but also we also take some external benchmarking from that to really sort of understand other signals to see where we're at on that scale too.
And what would you say your biggest investment has been, not through just the digital business strategy, but throughout the whole of your career?
I think the investment is around the people. As you mentioned, I mean, at the top of the call, this is about sort of people and culture. And I think most of my investment has either been investing in helping to develop people and making sure that they are ready for the next stage of their career. Or I would say also investing in our people to influence them to ultimately change their minds, or getting buy-in to a certain sort of ambition or a certain agenda. And I think, as you mentioned, the digital business strategy was quite a big investment of obviously writing things down, but a lot of it was actually about investment in influencing our stakeholders to actually buy into that strategy.
Basil, we now have a whole new digital unit. Can you just explain to everyone, what is this new digital unit?
Yeah, so it was just announced sort of earlier this year. Essentially, we are combining all of the expertise and that knowledge across the whole of BT Group. That's combining forces across our consumer divisions, our enterprise divisions, global services, and also our technology departments together to ultimately create this new digital unit. And that's led by Harmeen.
What are your thoughts on this new digital unit?
I think it's amazing. Like I said before, I couldn't believe that the team would probably be able to double again this year. I thought that was probably the maxed out, but here I am a year later, and it's also doubled again. So it'll be interesting to see, watch this space in terms of the future. But I think in terms of how I feel, I think I'm really excited. I think there's a lot of interesting and exciting things to look forward to that we can leverage all of those expertise together under one unit to really sort of propel us into the future.
That's amazing. And you've actually been involved in creating the new mission statement for this whole new digital unit. So can you just talk me through what were your thoughts of creating the mission statement, then maybe you can share what it is as well.
Yeah, sure. So like I said, we've combined a lots of different departments. And obviously, like I mentioned before, we've gone through that similar change before, where we've had slightly different cultures coming together, and we've all come from slightly different sort of spaces and context. So one of the first activities that we got going was to form this new digital mission squad, and we had representatives from all of those departments working together to come up with a mission that we all would galvanize around and really start thinking about how we might start all working together. Ultimately, it represents what we do and what we'll be famous for as well. So that was a really interesting sort of thing that I was privileged to be part of. It was a really great sort of experience, because we ultimately sort of didn't know each other to start with, and we were sort of clashed together into a squad. But it was a great process to go through with them to create that sort of mission.
Can you share what the mission statement is?
Yeah, so I'd love to share it. So the digital mission is to be fearless, customer-obsessed creators who amplify growth.
Wow. Do you know what I love about that is the word fearless and customer obsessed, because to me, those are the most important things possibly in the digital team. You know, as a product owner as well, I love the fact to be fearless and have the ability to, we talk a lot about failing fast, not being afraid to push something out there to our users and test things. And, you know, if it doesn't work, that's okay, because, you know, we're trying to come back to the root cause of a problem. And, you know, we have to sometimes try things to get that done. What do you think about that?
Yeah, totally. I think each one of those words in that mission statement really resonates with me. I mean, like you said, fearless, it's about really being brave and really being bold. Even as we were developing the digital mission statement, there were moments where we were apprehensive about going, oh, should we be sharing these options of different statements? And we were saying, well, no, we're not ready yet to share them. But then there was a moment where we kind of go, we've got to share it, we've got to get feedback, we've got to learn from this. So we experienced that ourselves. We were fearless in that space to kind of go, it's okay that some of these things are not going to be right. So that was a really key moment that ultimately sort of resonated with me, but also with the teams that were actually going through this process. And obviously, customer obsessed is key, right? This is all about ultimately sort of meeting the demands of our customers, solving their problems. And we are the creators of those things. We will make that happen. So that really sort of makes sure that we are really making the best use of our capabilities, whether that, like you said, our technology expertise or our creative expertise, to really sort of build those brilliant products. And I would say the last bit about amplifying growth is quite key as well. This isn't just about obviously accelerating or turbocharging the business going forward and helping them sort of prosper, but also it's about ourselves. It's about amplifying our own growth and how we sort of develop as an individual as well. So that was sort of quite important in terms of the mission statement.
Yeah, and I absolutely love the amount of people that were involved in this as well. And that comes out, I think, in the mission statement, people from different parts of the organization. And
yeah, I was going to say, I think just to build on your point, I think it was great to have lots of different people, a diverse bunch of people with different thoughts and different points of view to really stress test that that process and really make sure that it was fitting for everyone that represents that new unit. And we all ultimately sort of had to do some testing with it. It wasn't just a group of us coming up with that in a black box in a dark room somewhere. We actually went through a number of different sort of routes to actually getting feedback, testing it with our customers, testing it with our CEOs as well, to really make sure that it resonated with them.
So Sil, as you know, in the digital team, we have a statement of build, measure, learn. We've talked about your build, we've talked about your measure, but I also want to know about your learnings, your key learnings that you've had throughout your career. If you had to pick a couple, what would they be?
So I think the first one is just that. You talked about learning, and I would say my first one is ultimately that. Just keep on learning, have that growth mindset, because especially in the digital world, things change at a rapid pace, and you really need to sort of keep up with what is that latest viewpoint from a customer, but also what do we need to do to ultimately make sure that the business is successful. So I think that's definitely one learning, is ultimately to really sort of continue learning for yourself.
Wow, that's really good.
Yeah, and I was going to say the second one is, I think, really about supporting each other. I think I've really learned, obviously, through sort of the past year through COVID, that it's really important to make sure that you're really supporting not just your team, but everyone that ultimately sort of works with you, and asking simple questions of, you know, are you okay? And really sort of making sure that everyone feels included in all of the things that they're doing to help sort of you prosper, but also helping that, you know, the other way around, making sure that you are doing the right things to help other people sort of do their best too.
If you had to give any advice to anyone who's listening to this that's going through their own digital transformation, what would that be?
I think the first thing is, digital transformation can mean a lot of different things to organizations. And we had to first find what digital transformation means to us. So I think the most important thing is, when the buzzword comes out around digital transformation, you have to really understand what that really means to your business, and ultimately what problem you are really trying to solve to ultimately sort of start that agenda. So that's my sort of big tip to others that are thinking about doing this.
Great advice there, Sil. Hopefully people can take that and let us know how you get on. That's something key as well. So definitely let us know how you get on. Right, Sil, you've been a big fan of a Digipod since the very beginning, I think. So you should know what's coming up right about now. I always like to ask a bit of a different question at the end. And everyone knows that you're a massive Arsenal fan. Please don't switch off right now if you're hearing that for the first time. I would like to know, Sil, if you had to pick five individuals, past or present, from the Arsenal team to form a digital squad, who would you choose against each of the disciplines? Design, engineering, product, anyone you could think of that matches those roles?
Yeah, I've had to think long and hard about this, because it's quite a difficult thing. You know, we've had some good quality players in the past, you know, winning quite a lot of trophies, probably not recently, but I think, you know, I'm old enough to think about sort of some of the sort of past players. So it's been really hard. I would say, you know, as you mentioned, you know, if it was a squad and we had to sort of pick of sort of certain disciplines, you've got to start with the sort of engineers or the engine room. And I sort of had a few people on my pick list, and I thought, you know, maybe like, you know, Martin Keown's a pretty solid person. He's a big influencer. Lee Dixon and obviously Tony Adams. I think Tony Adams is that sort of bedrock leader, and I think I'd have to go with him as my starting point in that sort of five-a-side football team. And then coming next would be, you know, in the creativity space, come on, there's so many different sort of
spoilt for choice almost.
Yeah, so many people to pick from. So I think, you know, you've got the likes of, you know, Ozil for a short amount of time. You've got Bergkamp, Pires, you've got Fabregas in that space. And I thought I'd pick two from there. I think Pires and Bergkamp are probably, you know, top of the list in that space.
Nice.
And then, you know, in the product area, I would probably say, you know, you've got people like, you know, Ian Wright, you got Aubameyang. I'd even put Arteta in that space, given that he's been a player and also now our latest manager. I think he's got sort of a good all-round sort of view on sort of where we need to take sort of that future forward. And then obviously you've got Henry, right? Henry. So I think off in the product area, I've got to take sort of the other two people would be Arteta and Henry. Definitely. Wow. So it's Tony Adams, Pires, Bergkamp, Arteta, and then Henry.
Someone wants free tickets, let's put it that way, by putting the new manager in the team. So if Mikel Arteta is a fan of the Digipod, then I'm sure please reach out, because me and Sil would love to come to a couple of games, wouldn't we, Sil, when fans are back about it?
Yeah, definitely.
Right, Sil, unfortunately, that is the end of today's episode of That Digipod. I want to thank you so much for coming on. You've been an absolutely fantastic guest. But as you know, nobody goes away empty-handed on this podcast, because you will be getting one of these amazing Digipod water bottles. One is on its way to your house as we speak.
Oh, thanks very much, Dipesh. That's going to replace my glass on my table. But I've also noticed one of those t-shirts, those Digipod t-shirts. Can I get one of those when if I get invited back on another show?
Yeah, 100%. We'll get one of these t-shirts over to you. No problem at all, Sil. Would you please like to sign everyone off?
Yeah, sure. So if you would love to get in touch about anything digital transformation, you can email us at that.digipod@bt.com. We'd love to hear about your stories and we'll read them out at the next podcast.
That's exactly right. Thank you so much, Sil, and we'll catch you soon.
Thanks, Dipesh. It's been a pleasure.